Special funding for the podcast of On Point is provided by Boston University School of Law, dedicated to excellence in teaching and to preparing lawyers for global challenges.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. American anti-war activists have fought long and hard for an end to the Iraq War. Online, on street corners, on Capitol Hill. Here's Code Pink co-founder Medea Benjamin being arrested in 2007 after holding up a two-finger peace sign as Condoleezza Rice testified before the House Committee on Foreign Affairs.
Can you ask why I'm getting arrested? It's holding up a peace sign in this...
Where's the second
It's holding a peace sign illegal in the United States of America!
Barack Obama promised an end to the war. Many activists worked hard to support him. Now President Obama has laid out his plans for Iraq and Afghanistan. So what do they think? This hour, On Point anti-war voices on Barack Obama's plans for war. We'll hear in this hour from the Code Pink co-founder, from Ohio Congressman Dennis Kucinich, and from Win Without War Coalition leader Tom Andrews. Medea Benjamin joins us today from Washington, D.C. She is co-founder of the feminist anti-war group Code Pink. She and her group have taken part in many high-profile anti-war protests confronting Donald Rumsfeld, George W. Bush, Condoleezza Rice, Nouri al-Maliki, and more. Dennis Kucinich will join us in just a moment, but first, Medea Benjamin, welcome to On Point.
Hey, Tom. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. You heard the president at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, last week outlining his plans. What's your response?
Not good enough. It keeps the troops there longer. It leaves this, quote, residual force of 35,000 to 50,000. He doesn't talk about ending the permanent bases that we have been building there, and doesn't make it clear that we're going to get out the 100,000-plus contractors that are part of this occupation.
Is this what you worked for, fought for? Where did you stand on Obama's candidacy? Were you a supporter?
I was certainly a supporter of the peace platform that he ran on, and we certainly feel we're in better shape than we were under George Bush, where we wouldn't even be having this conversation at all. But our job is to keep advocating for what we believe, which is get the troops out as soon as possible and don't take them from one bad war in Iraq and send them to another one in Afghanistan.
Code Pink leader Medea Benjamin, listen with me for a moment, if you would, to the president last Friday at Camp Lejeune, laying out his plan for withdrawal from Iraq.
As a candidate for president, I made clear my support for a timeline of 16 months to carry out this drawdown, while pledging to consult closely with our military commanders upon taking office to ensure that we preserve the gains we've made and to protect our troops. These consultations are now complete, and I've chosen a timeline that will remove our combat brigades over the next 18 months. So let me say this as plainly as I can. By August 31st, 2010, our combat mission in Iraq will end.
President Obama last Friday. Medea Benjamin is co-founder of the anti-war group Code Pink. There it is. Again, let me say this as plainly as I can. Our combat mission in Iraq will end. And you say not good enough?
No, not good enough. We're worried about just redefining the 30,000 to 50,000 troops that will remain there and giving them another non-combat name, but they will be armed troops in an occupied country, and to us that's continuing the occupation. We have about 50 bases in Iraq. We don't hear anything about what's going to happen to those bases. Are they going to be turned over to the Iraqis, and when? Obama also said he was going to start pulling out the combat brigades one per month, and now it seems like they're going to stay there for most of this year and into the first few months of 2010 and only start leaving in the spring and summer of next year, which is not what he told us during the campaign. So we're worried that this is going to be a prolonged occupation with at least three more years of our troops dying, getting maimed, coming back with post-traumatic stress disorders, committing suicide because of what they've seen and what they've done for three more years now, at least, and maybe even longer.
You've been pretty out there at Code Pink, you and your cohort there at Capitol Hill hearings, at national political conventions around the country. Are you going to be continuing your anti-war protests during the Obama years?
We will. We are going to mark this next anniversary of March 21st of the war in Iraq by protests here in Washington, D.C. and around the country. We'll start gearing up for protesting around Afghanistan after this decision to send 17,000 more troops into a war that we have absolutely no strategy for. And I'm on my way to Gaza today because we're very upset about U.S. taxpayer money going to fund Israel's aggression and war in Gaza, the West Bank, and all of Palestine. So we, unfortunately, still have a lot of wars that the U.S. taxpayers are funding at a time when our economy is in free fall. We need to bring our troops home, stop supporting wars overseas, and focus on rebuilding our economy.
You sound busy, even in the Obama years. Medea Benjamin, co-founder of Code Pink, please stand by. Joining us as well right now from Washington, D.C., is Congressman Dennis Kucinich. Democratic congressman, represents Ohio's 10th District. Was a candidate, of course, in the Democratic nomination to the presidency in 04 and 08 elections. Sponsored a bill in 07 that would have immediately ended the Iraq War. Dennis Kucinich, thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you very much.
What did you think of the president's rollout of his more specific plans on Iraq and Afghanistan on Friday, Congressman?
Well, you know, it's a step in the right direction, but the only direction with respect to Iraq is out. To end the occupation, close the bases, and bring the troops home. We don't want to be slow-walked through an extension of the Iraq war. And frankly, leaving 50,000 troops there in that environment keeps the U.S. There indefinitely. You can set a timetable in 2011, but the fact of the matter is the United States is putting in the next a year and a half over $200 billion to keep the war in Iraq going in to fuel up a war in Afghanistan. Wrong direction.
You've been critical. Senator John McCain, President Obama's opponent in the election, has been supportive. What do you make of that?
Well, you have to look where this started. I mean, I led the effort in the House of Representatives in 2002 in challenging the Bush administration's march towards war in Iraq. I said then, and I say now, there was never any reason to go to war against Iraq. The whole thing was built on lies. Now, those who supported the war from the start, and Senator McCain was one of those, certainly, I think, see a unwinding of the strategy to end the war as being a kind of a vindication of their position and President Bush's position.
Mm-hmm.
I think that President Obama, everyone acknowledges, has inherited a mess. But those of us who oppose the war in Iraq are not going to be content with this renaming of a of an end to the occupation while we leave troops there.
You know, we've talked with a lot of people in recent weeks who have been generally supportive of this. We heard from Admiral William Fallon, former CENTCOM chief, saying, you know, don't go too fast. Stephen Biddle, Judith Yaffe, Craig Mullaney, a young Army captain who fought in Afghanistan, all saying we've got responsibilities. We have to be careful. We've talked with Tom Ricks, the military correspondent, Pulitzer Prize winner, out with his new book, The Gamble, saying, you know, we've got a moral responsibility here, and he's saying he believes we're not even halfway through the war in Iraq yet. Obama himself, Congressman, said we've got to be as careful getting out as we were careless getting in. Is this the president now just delivering on that part of his campaign promise?
Again, it's a good direction to start to go out. But, most of the analysts who are commenting on the wisdom of staying in through 2011 at least, and with 50,000 troops, the chances are we'll be in Iraq for the foreseeable future. Most of those analysts were on board when the war started, and I wasn't. I've seen this thing clearly from the beginning. You want to talk about a moral obligation? Who's talking about the million dead Iraqis and what we owe the people of Iraq in terms of reparations? Who's talking about the hundreds of billions of dollars in reconstruction funds that cannot be accounted for? You know, who's talking about what we're going to do to rebuild Iraq and how you're going to unify Iraq when the war actually split Iraq? I mean, this thing has been a nightmare from the beginning, and the only thing we can do is to work with the regional community, and Iran has shown a willingness now to help with reconstruction, but we need to work with the regional community, get Iran and Syria and other nations involved to put together an international peacekeeping and security force that will come in as we leave. But we've got to get out of there.
Congressman, you say that with the 50,000 troops there, the U.S. could be there, will be there for the foreseeable future. Barack Obama says 35,000 to 50,000 troops, yes, but they'll be out by December 2011. Do you not believe that?
He's not talking about closing the bases. And as long as those bases are open, our troops are there. We're not talking about closing an embassy. We build an embassy there that's bigger than the Vatican. And, you know, the U.S. is going to be there unless we have a ringing declaration that this whole thing was wrong and we need to get out.
Does that mean you don't believe the president when he says December 2011?
It's not whether I believe Barack Obama or not. I want to believe Barack Obama. I supported his election in 2008. But I also know from carefully studying Iraq that unless you have a plan to close the bases, unless you have a plan to actually end an embassy there and then be reinvited, unless you have a plan to repair the damage that was done by the United States, our troops are going to be there. And with the expansion of the war into Afghanistan, it's certain that the insurgency, which was fueled by our occupation in Iraq, is likely to continue its presence in Iraq as long as our presence stays there.
Dennis Kucinich, please stand by. Medea Benjamin with Code Pink. I know we have to let you go, but it sounds like you plan on being pretty active under the Obama administration.
Well, yes, and I encourage your listeners, because that's the only thing that's going to bring our troops home, and go to CodePinkAlert.org, and thanks for having me on, Tom.
Medea Benjamin, co-founder of the feminist anti-war organization Code Pink, joining us from Washington. Thank you for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. We're talking this hour with anti-war activists and leaders about President Obama's plans for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Bottom line, a step forward, they say, but they're not happy. Not entirely happy. Far from it, in fact. Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who's been outspoken on the war in Iraq from before the war's onset, joins us today. We're joined as well to look at this issue by professor of political science at MIT, director of MIT's Security Studies Program, Barry Posen, with me in the studio. Barry Posen, great to have you back. Thanks for being here.
Hello, Tom.
Congressman Barry, let's get a couple of calls here. From Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Michael. Michael, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to make the point that in his speech, he didn't give the reason for the war that we were going in for weapons of mass destruction. He said, we sent our troops to Iraq to do away with Saddam's regime, which actually wasn't the point. And I think it's a really important thing to note that he's not saying that we went to the war under false pretenses. He's saying that we went to the war to remove Saddam. And I think that's really important to point out, because that wasn't the initial point.
A little shift in the war goal there, certainly from the initial and disproved one. Michael, thanks. Let's go to Aiken, South Carolina, and Brenda. Brenda, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I am head of Women in Black in Aiken, and we stand a vigil for peace on the first and third Mondays of every month, plus the anniversary of the war and any other time something comes up. I support President Obama because I understand the bind that he's in. The Republicans and the hawkish Democrats are making it extremely difficult for him. But I'm worried. I'm worried. I was a Kucinich person right on up to the end, and then I could not resist the opportunity to vote for our first African-American and for Mr. Obama because I respect him. But this is going on, and until the last person has died or been maimed, we will be out there. It's not over till it's over.
Women in Black in Aiken, South Carolina. Brenda, thanks for that. And let me get one more, then we'll go to the Congressman and Barry Posen. Doug in Avon, Massachusetts. Doug, you're on the air.
Thank you, Tom. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned earlier, I think that the issue here is that when on the campaign trail, President Obama made a lot of promises that he felt in his heart of hearts were absolute. But upon getting into the Oval Office and finding out what the real facts on the ground were, I think that changes everything. It's sort of like being absolutely committed to dating the most beautiful girl in town, and then you finally get there and you find out that There are all kinds of major political problems in her family.
Everybody's human. Everything's complicated. Doug, thanks for that. Congressman Dennis Kucinich, how about it? There were promises on the campaign trail. Reality is complicated.
There's no secret society inside the White House where they're suddenly privy to special facts that none of the rest of the world has. We went into the war in Iraq based on lies. And that is just indisputable. It wasn't about Saddam Hussein. It was a lie to begin with. And so we need to get out. The question is, what are the circumstances under which we get out? And that's what I've been talking about for years. You know, we certainly need a program of national reconciliation. We have to work on that.
Yeah.
We have to close the, you know, end the occupation, close the bases, bring the troops home, set up a regional peacekeeping process that would, for the purpose of developing security and stabilization force for Iraq. All those contractors that are connected to the U.S. have to get out of there, and the business has to be run by the Iraqi government. And we have to have an international security and peacekeeping force that comes in when the U.S. leaves. I mean, there's so many things that have to be done to reconstruct Iraq, to have a program of reparations, to really have true political sovereignty so that the Iraq economy can have economic sovereignty. And there needs to be a process of international truth and reconciliation until we fess up. That the war was based on lies, all we're doing is continuing a cover-up through the presence of U.S.
Congressman, if you're so right, and Barack Obama called it a dumb war before it even got started, if you're so right, why isn't he following your recipe? Why is he going with this formula slower?
This isn't about personalities.
No, I don't mean personalities. He called it dumb. You say we need to get out now. He's not getting out right now.
You know, I'm not going to disparage our president.
I'm not asking you to. I'm asking about his policy.
Yeah, I disagree totally with continuing the war in Iraq, with going into Afghanistan, and with the incursions along the Pakistani border. And I'm going to continue to disagree with him, despite the fact that we have a Democratic president. If I didn't think it was right under a Republican president, it's not right under a Democratic president.
Congressman, stand by. Barry Posen, if Dennis Kucinich and other anti-war activists are right, why do you think Barack Obama is on a different path? Not diametrically different, but certainly different.
Well, I think that a bit of the explanation was found in the comment of the previous caller, Brenda. Some of this is about politics. It's to be very realistic about American politics. A lot of things in the policy world are about blame avoidance and blame shifting. The president inherited a disengagement plan from Iraq that was essentially blessed by the Republican president who took us into Iraq. There's a status of forces agreement. It has a timeline on it, right? So the president, that gave President Obama a lot of wiggle room to basically do what he wants, which is to argue and have a policy that we're getting out of Iraq, but still do what the Republicans want because it's what they committed themselves to. When any politician can essentially be on both sides of the issue, it's very tempting to take it.
When he stood up at Camp Lejeune said, "Let me be perfectly clear, this is the end." Did you see a real policy change here or not?
No. Well, there is no policy change because the policy, the timeline he's on is the policy that it's embodied in the Status of Forces Agreement that the United States signed with Maliki under President Bush's leadership. That's the timeline. The only thing that the thing that was left out of that timeline was exactly when American troops would leave. Right. That what was left out and what the president and one could imagine had Bush stayed in office, most of the troops would leave sometime in the third year of this process. Instead, what President Obama has done is basically say no troops leave in the first year. About 2/3 of the troops leave in the second year. And then the last tranche of troops, which could be a big number, 50,000, will leave sometime in the last 15 or 16 months of this process. Right now, that is, basically he gets to be. Pursue his policy, and the Republicans are stuck saying, "Well, this was Bush's policy. Our leader signed on to this, so they can't really protest very much." Now, the real devil is going to be in the details because there's a lot of ambiguity—or not a lot, but some ambiguity—in things that the president said, little phrases tucked into his statements, and things that Secretary of Defense Gates has said
that may allow for a longer presence.
It could conceivably allow for a longer presence, but certainly over the next 36 months allow for quite a lot more activism than people imagine when they voted for President Obama and his 18-month or 16-month end the war strategy.
Dennis Kucinich, how do you plan to address war policy over this fairly extended time that Obama's talking about withdrawal? Are you in his camp here or not? Are you in opposition still?
I'm in a camp of peace, and I don't, whether it's a Democratic or Republican president, our policies in that region have been wrong. And so what do we need to do? You know, I've laid out a 12-point plan a long time ago about what we need to do. Now, what I will do, I'll continue to vote against budgets that fund this war, you know, whether it's $75 billion for 2009 or $150 billion for 2010. The war in Iraq and Afghanistan represents failed U.S. policy, and we have to take a new direction, not only because it would help us in the world community, but also because we have concerns here at home which are pressing. And when you have so many people out of work, with people without health care, people losing their homes, you know, the last thing we should be doing is keeping a war going that was based on lies. And I'll say it again. The war was based on lies. Over a million innocent Iraqis have paid a price with their lives. The lives of American servicemen and women were put on the line, and thousands have been lost, and tens of thousands maimed and injured forever. You know, we've got to have a period of truth and reconciliation so that we can move forward and really be a force for peace in the world instead of a force for aggression, which Iraq and Afghanistan have ended up being all about.
Congressman Dennis Kucinich joining us from Washington. Thank you very much for being with us today, Congressman.
Thank you very much.
Let me get a call from Hartford, Connecticut. Daniel, you're on the air, Daniel.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, what do you know?
Well, I'm calling because, first of all, I definitely wanted to point out that as long as we don't recognize the Iraqis' ability to run their own lives, this war is going to continue. And the American people have been calling for an immediate, unconditional withdrawal for years now through demonstrations, through polls, and through resolutions. And instead, what we're seeing is not just only a partial drawdown in Iraq that could easily go back into a full-scale occupation, but we're seeing an escalation of the Afghanistan war into Pakistan. We've seen about 40 bombings there since the summer, and there's already been about 300,000 refugees created by the war that the Pakistani government has been waging on the U.S.'s behalf, and this could very well escalate in a very similar way that the war in Vietnam spread into Cambodia and Laos. And for folks who want to, you know, see an end to this bloodshed and instead of an escalation into possibly even more wars in Iran and other places, you should really join us on March 21st in Washington, D.C., and if you want to find out more, you can go to pentagonmarch.org.
Daniel, I understand that fear, and yet you say that the problem is we're not recognizing Iran's ability to run, Iraqis' ability to run their own lives. You know, a lot of people are saying they don't have that ability, that if U.S. troops go out now, we could have civil war there, not just civil war, but regional war. What about that? Barack Obama says he doesn't want to be careless. Are you not sympathetic to that concern?
Well, it's the same logic that got us into the war in the first place. You know, people said the Iraqis can't free themselves from Saddam, so we got to do it for them. And we made the mess a whole lot bigger. In fact, we were the ones who supported Saddam in the first place. It's just a rehashing of the white man's burden, whether or not we have a black president. The idea is, the idea is that, you know, we're not stealing their oil. We're not, you know, trying to control their economy. We've privatized their entire economy. We're not trying to divide them. But any occupying force needs to divide and conquer in order to maintain its rule. It's the first rule of any occupation or any domination is you've got to divide and conquer.
Daniel, thanks for your call. Let us look at it. Barry Posen, you're listening very closely here. You're listening closely to this line of concern. What do you say?
Well, I think your response was about the issue of recognizing the Iraqis' right to run their own lives.
Ability was the word.
Well, right. Right versus ability. And
Am I picking up the white man's burden there, too, with that kind of...
It's not just you doing it. We don't have to use these emotionally charged phrases.
No, but it's related to Barack Obama saying, let's not be careless.
No, it's central. It's central, right? I mean, even on the question of strategy... Right. On the question of strategy in Iraq, President Obama in the campaign trail enunciated a different strategy, right, from the president and from General Petraeus about this question of the Iraqi ability. Right. Petraeus, the former President Bush, their theory was we have to keep holding the Iraqis' hands. And if we hold their hands and if not so much divide and conquer, but serve as the balancer among all these different factions. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, increment by increment, they will develop the ability to govern themselves and secure themselves and defend themselves. This is the idea of slow and gradual progress.
There
if we're only
Petraeus
patient,
at all.
Right?
What
that,
about
that was their story. Mm-hmm. The president had a different story, and it was a story that a lot of us had, and it's a story that in the political science world goes under the idea of so-called moral hazard, which we've talked about in the economics mm-hmm. world a lot mm-hmm. lately,
yes.
which is the idea was by staying there and holding the Iraqis' hands, right, we're ensuring people against their worst behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So they continue to not make key political steps that they have to make. Mm-hmm. Even the president notes that we don't have an oil law. We don't have an Iraqi understanding on the division of powers between the central government and the provincial government. We don't really have any kind of a settlement on Kirkuk, right? Well, the idea of the stay in Iraq and hold hands group is that if we stay there and push and prod and show the way and secure and train, ultimately they're going to move to all this. President Obama said, you know, maybe we're giving them too much insurance, right? That was his argument on the campaign trail. We're giving them too much insurance. And what we need to do is credibly commit, right, to a decisive, steady reduction in American forces so that they know they will soon have responsibility, so they had better develop the ability.
We'll talk about whether 2010 and 11 are soon enough for that dynamic. Let me welcome into our conversation from Washington Tom Andrews. He's National Director of the Win Without War Coalition, former Democratic Congressman from Maine. Tom Andrews, welcome back to On Point.
Tom, thanks for having me back. It's great to be here.
You've been listening to the conversation there in Washington, some dissatisfaction in the anti-war camp over the pace here, and maybe even the perspective on the Iraq war, at least, that Barack Obama has now adopted. What's your reaction to the president's announcement in Lejeune, at Camp Lejeune?
Well, I think Congressman Kucinich, I think, said it correctly, that this is a step in the right direction. But as Dr. Posner says, the devil is in the details. And in this town, Washington,
yeah.
there are a lot of details, and certainly there are a lot of devils. The question is, President Obama delivering? Well, this should be what he announced at Camp Lejeune should be no surprise, really, to anyone. First of all, he talked about Iraq's future is now its own responsibility, as he said in the campaign trail, that we can't be holding their hand, as Dr. Posner has said.
Barry Posen. It's Posen.
Posen, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
He also said very clearly in the campaign trail that he would be getting combat troops out of Iraq, but leaving behind residual forces that would be doing exactly as he announced that they would be doing on the campaign trail. He also announced that there would be new thinking in the White House about how we approach this region and in the world. And certainly in the speech that he delivered at Camp Lejeune, he talked about a new engagement in the region, engaging Iran, engaging Syria, having a definite endpoint to not only combat operations, but having all of our troops, residual and combat, out of Iraq, all of which is a very positive thing. The concern is twofold. One is the wiggle room here is quite extraordinary. And you have on the other side of the equation commanders, the military side, that are saying, for example, with respect to residual troops, military planners have told the media that one of the ways they're going to get to this goal is simply to redefine combat troops as residual troops. You have the commander on the ground in Iraq, General Ordiano, when he was asked if all combat forces were going to be out of the Iraqi streets by June of this year, which, of course, the Status of Forces Agreement requires, he said, well, not really. They will be there, but instead they're going to be part of what he termed joint security stations. That is, there'll be combat troops in the streets, but they'll be with Iraqis, which created a firestorm of protest in Iraq. And then finally, as you mentioned, you've got the author and Washington Post reporter Tom Ricks saying that in his research, there's a quiet consensus in the Pentagon that mm-hmm. we're not even halfway through combat operations and that we're going to be there well until 2015. So that's very disturbing, obviously.
Tom Andrews with Win Without War. Hold on if you would. We'll get your conclusion there, and we want it. Barry Posen with MIT Security Studies Program. Please stand by. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. We're talking this hour with anti-war activists and leaders about President Obama's plans for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Let's hear from some listeners as well. In Hanford, California, Lisa's calling. Hi, Lisa. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm with the board of Military Families Speak Out, and my husband is a naval pilot.
Mm-hmm. So how do you see Obama's announcement?
Well, Well, I have to say I'm incredibly disappointed. I think he campaigned on getting us out of the war, and yes, he did warn us that he was talking about a much slower withdrawal than a lot of us would like, but I have to say, as a military family member, I'm incredibly disappointed. We're headed into a third deployment with my own husband, and I think it's a little late, and quite frankly, it's far too little.
Your husband's a Navy pilot, flies an F-18, has been out, and may go out again. How does he think about it, Lisa?
He's on the same page, but he doesn't get to speak about his opinions in the same way that I do. But, you know, that is what they're supposed to be fighting for. Unfortunately, the kind of cause that we got into with Iraq is not the kind of thing that we're supposed to be fighting for.
Lisa, thanks very much for your call. Let me get another right here from Waterloo, Iowa. Luke, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Say, I just wanted to make it clear. I was a veteran of the OIF and OEF operations, and my understanding of this is that politicians will get us into a war, and it's up to the generals and the Joint Chiefs of Staff to help the president and the Senate to get us out of the war. And I support President Obama's proposal. I understand that it is not as complicated to remove the military from an occupied country as it may seem to campaign on that slogan. So,
Were you in Iraq, Luke? Were you deployed there?
Yes, I was.
And Dennis Kucinich says, come on, let's not do this. Let's get out. Let's get a regional coalition together. Let's have international development in Iraq. What about that?
I understand, and it needs to happen, but at the same time, they need our support, and that's why we were there to help the people of Iraq and make sure that they did not receive the persecutions from Saddam as previous, and to eliminate the war on terror from that support and that foothold that they had. So,
Luke, I appreciate your call, and thank you very much for it. Let me get one more right here. Leon in Newton, Massachusetts. Leon, you're on the air. Hi.
I just want to say that Congressman Kucinich ran the most intelligent campaign. Number two, I think that this is a terrible mistake by Obama. I'm not surprised he's been waffling on other issues on which he ran. And one of the things that disturbs me, in World War II, General MacArthur was told by President Truman that the president makes policy, the general carries him out. All you do in the paper today and on TV, every general is expounding his own view of how the war and troop commitments should be fulfilled. That's not their job. And I think that Obama has deferred to them, and I think it's a terrible mistake. We have a quagmire waiting for us in Afghanistan, and that's going to be bad enough.
Leon, let us pick it up. Tom Andrews, how about it? We have Luke in Iowa saying the generals have to solve this, even though the politicians got us in. Leon says no, political leaders have to solve this. Who do you see driving the boat now, Tom?
Well, and this is one of the important reasons why, Tom, we need voices on this side of the equation, making the case and pushing as hard as we can for a resolution to this. I mean, the president had it right when he was on the campaign trail, saying that this was a terrible mistake that the United States made, particularly with respect to the war on international terrorism. What he said was we needed new thinking, a fundamentally new approach to this. And I think one of the most important area of concern that certainly our coalition has is the fact that we would be engaged in new thinking through a comprehensive review of our strategy in Afghanistan, but at the same time we would deploy 17,000 new troops before that comprehensive review process is barely underway. I mean, in our view, that is not new thinking. There's a very strong battery of analysis, some of which have come out just in the last few weeks, that says that one of the key factors driving the Taliban in Afghanistan, both in providing both the glue for the various disparate elements as well as the fuel to strengthening it, is the presence of foreign military forces on Afghanistan soil. So before you even complete your process of comprehensive review to make the decision to deploy is not a very good sign. And so we need to have these voices on the other side, supporting the president's call for new thinking, supporting the president when he says we are going to get not only combat but residual forces out, and trying to make the case as strongly as we possibly can that we need to move in that direction steadfastly, because the fact is that voices on the other side are certainly going to be voicing their views in the 180 degree direction from which we think we should be going.
Barry Posen, what about new thinking here? You've expressed some skepticism about how new it is. Tom Andrews is willing to concede some. He may want more. Do you feel, though, out of the Obama White House, a new general approach emerging here, even though troops will be there until 2011, we're told, in Iraq?
Well, there is a new general approach, but even that, I think defenders of the former president might say, look, all this emphasis on diplomacy and regional-wide activities and linking this to the dispute between the Israelis and the Arabs, this was all something that emerged in the last years of the Bush administration as well. And
that mean it's wrong?
No, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just doesn't. It means there's a question about the newness. Sort of bending over backwards here, to be fair. Mm-hmm. I think the Obama administration has started a much more systematic full-court press, and that this whole area in which we're entangled, which sort of starts somewhere, the dispute between the Arabs and Israelis, and ends somewhere over in the dispute between the Pakistanis and the Indians, and everywhere in between. And all these things are linked to one another. The Obama administration knows that, and they're trying to put good people in charge of all the sub-issues and move forward on all fronts. That, I think, is a new step level change. But when we look inside the war in Iraq, my fear, and I think the fear of many of the speakers we've had already this morning, is that there really isn't much change. That the president, in his mind, believes that this is the path out. The path out is so imperceptibly slow. And the fortress,
not going out brigade a month, keeping most of those troops in for another year still
and
before
then,
they begin.
And then 50,000 more are in probably until the end of the three-year period. And listening without really having to read very much in between the lines, combat brigades are going to be left in Iraq after August of 2010. They're just going to be given a different name. When I do the arithmetic in my head, knowing the way these people do things, I see that in their heads now, they're planning about four combat brigades remaining in Iraq more or less indefinitely. I think that's where they're going, but that's only by working backwards from the arithmetic. So this subjects the president and the American people to the fortunes of war inside Iraq. Things have gone well recently. For some reasons, we think we understand and reasons we don't understand, but across the time period America's been in Iraq, things have gone well and things have gone badly. Americans who believe that we somehow prevented a civil war in Iraq are wrong.
I think a lot of people think, though, that we're on a path now to a decent solution. Do you think so?
I don't have any confidence in that. The only thing I know is the facts that we have. And the facts that we have that are compelling is that violence is way down in Iraq. Violence against Americans and violence of Iraqis against each other.
Sounds good.
That's good. Right. The question is, the problem is that there have been times in the past when violence has been down or has been lower in Iraq. And even the cause of the decline in violence in Iraq is not so clear, right? In other words, people would like to believe it's our agency that caused that. There are compelling counterarguments to say a lot of this had to do with things that happened within Iraq itself, within the Iraqi factions, and those things could go the other way. So you're subject to the fortunes of war here, right? And those of us who are concerned about that, who are concerned about cost, who are skeptical about benefits, more or less believe it's time to call an end to this thing, to do it in a way that's safe for our troops and gives the Iraqis a last clear chance to sort themselves out. And that was the plan we understood President Obama to be offering on the campaign trail. He would come in, he would have a consultation, and then sometime in April or May, we would begin to see brigades leave Iraq at the pace of one a month, and the Iraqis would be on notice. It's time for them to sort out their problems.
They're still on notice, aren't they? Tom Andrews, isn't there a kind of notice, even if it's more stretched out in Barack Obama's calendar, or is 2010 and 2011, are numbers like those too distant to put the heat on Iraqis to reach their own agreements?
Well, number one, I mean, according to the Status of Forces Agreement, which, of course, was negotiated in the Bush administration, but it's interesting that that is not the agreement that the Bush administration wanted. The people of Iraq, this military occupation by the United States is deeply unpopular, and those negotiating this agreement on the Iraqi side were pushed by the population for a much tougher agreement than what the Bush administration wanted. And it turned out the only reason they ended up agreeing to it is because Barack Obama was elected president, and they had confidence that the president was going to go in and back it up and actually take these troops out. Three benchmarks. This June 2009, that agreement requires all U.S. combat forces out of the streets. August of 2010, President Obama says all combat forces out of Iraq. December 2011, according to this agreement, all forces out of Iraq, period. And interestingly enough, the Iraqi people, the only reason that the politicians in Iraq felt confident enough to sign that agreement was to put it to referendum to the people of Iraq, which is going to happen in July. So the jury is still out. The population of the people of Iraq could end up voting against this if they suspect that this is a pea in the shell game and we're going to be just reconfiguring and redefining combat forces and they're still going to be occupied. And if that were to happen in July, we would be out in a much quicker time frame because there'd only be 12 months left for the U.S. To be in any capacity militarily.
President Obama ran into some skepticism in his own party even before his speech. This is the last Wednesday. Here's Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, with Rachel Maddow, expressing some doubt about the proposal to keep 30,000 to 50,000 troops in Iraq after 2010.
I don't know what the justification is for a presence of 50,000 troops in Iraq. I do think that there's a need for some, and I don't know that all of them have to be in country. They can be platformed outside. But I'll just be interested to see what the president has to say. But I do think that I would think a third of that, maybe 20,000, a little more than a third.
Nancy Pelosi says maybe a third of that 50, maybe less, maybe not in Iraq, but out of country in Kuwait. Let's go to Emily in Medford, Massachusetts. Emily, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. What do you see?
My concern with the Iraq pullout is what pullout really means. It seems to me that every time we or another large superpower goes into a place like this, we bomb everything into the Stone Age, and then by the time we've been quagmired for a while, we lose all appetite for spending any resources in this area. We pull out, and we don't follow through and try to rebuild what we destroyed. And then people don't have upward mobility, they don't have clean water, they don't have a stable economy, and of course, somebody, usually us, ends up back in the same spot in 10 or 15 or 20 years.
So does Obama's timetable sound about right to you then, Emily, or not?
Well, I'm just curious about what happens after that, because there's more to the situation than just combat troops, and we can pull the military out of Iraq, but if we're not going to stay there and in some form help rebuild infrastructure, make sure that there's running water and schools and some kind of stable economy. An example in Afghanistan also would be the poppy crop. If we don't want them to sell poppies for drugs, then we need to provide either ways for them to sell poppies for pharmaceuticals or something else they can grow to have an economy. There are regions of Afghanistan that's
right. So there's a real concern for what we leave behind in both of these arenas. Of course, Barack Obama is sort of tamping down expectations on those fronts recently. Let's get a call here from Detroit, Michigan. Anthony, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. What do you think?
First, I'd like to say the previous caller hit some of my points. I think when you practice imperialism, you must remain in that country long enough to bring them up to a state that they can survive for themselves before you depart. And as an example, we're still in Japan, we're still in Germany, and one thing, I am a little disappointed that President Obama is actually still planning to pull out. I believe that by entering these countries, we've committed, as we have in Japan and Cuba and elsewhere, to stay for decades, and multiple decades, in order to, put back what we've already destroyed.
Anthony, our time is short, and I guess you're thinking about a little toehold in Guantanamo there that Cuba would probably be happy to be without. But nevertheless, Tom Andrews, how about it? There are two callers thinking about America's obligation here once it's gone in. Japan, Germany cited as examples, 50 years and counting there.
Well, we do have an obligation, Tom, and there's no question about that at all. But it's different from being an imperial power occupying a country militarily and calling the shots for that country, and being a partner in an international and regional approach to providing the support that that country needs in order to develop economically and otherwise. There are many, many stakeholders that have a great deal at stake in a stable and secure and prosperous Iraq, and we need to be a partner with those countries and those entities at the table, but not as a military power in control of Iraq, but rather as an international partner. And there's, to me, absolutely, there's no contradiction between taking out that former role of the United States and fully engaging in that latter role. I think we have a moral responsibility to do both.
Tom Andrews, National Director of the Win Without War Coalition. Tom, thanks very much for being with us today.
Tom, thank you.
Thank you also to Anti-War Voices Congressman Dennis Kucinich and Medea Benjamin, co-founder of Code Pink. Barry Posen, you've been listening generously through this hour. What do you think? Are the anti-war crowd in this country going to continue to be busy for some time yet?
Well, there are different anti-war crowds. There's those who don't like some of these wars on strategic grounds, and those who don't like them on moral ethical grounds. I think we're all going to be busy. Those of us who have strategic concerns are going to be busy, and those of us who have moral and ethical concerns are going to be busy. I think this Iraq thing is going to be with us, obviously, for 3 more years.
And Afghanistan?
And Afghanistan is a big open question, and it's going to be hard.
And Pakistan, right next door. Barry Posen, it's always great to have your perspective. Professor of Political Science at MIT and Director of the Security Studies Program there. Barry, thank you very much for coming in today.
Pleasure.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.